International Broadcasting lives on 5085. The Big One, WTWW.
Please stand by as we get ready to launch another episode of this Reality Radio Cafe Cast with your host and my husband, Denny J, K5DCC.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition, lift off.
Now grab your glass and get ready to fill it up with some radio on the rocks.
Vehicle's pitching downrange.
Welcome, everybody. It is Friday, April 9th, 2021, and we are on episode, I think it's 302 of our Radio on the Rocks Cafe Cast. Big day today. We're going to be attempting our first of many live Twitch streamed video podcasts. So thanks to Andre over there in Romania. Daniel's in the house. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning from South Africa.
So what kind of coffee are you drinking over there this morning?
First of all, it's afternoon now. It's 2 o'clock, and I've had my coffee this morning already. Daughter and I are busy packing up. We're going camping this weekend, Danny.
Oh, fun. Where are you going?
We're going up to Belita on the coast. Everything's packed in the car, but just doing an awesome little icing of a cake. There's a client that come to pick up a cake just now, so I'm doing that. So it's been a busy morning.
You are quite an adventurer. You guys love camping, don't you?
Actually, Dot loves camping. She's the adventurous part of the family.
She loves she's camping. Dragging you around. Huh?
Yeah, and I'm just trying to fit in where I can.
Oh, wow. Very good. Well, we just got our tent out this last week and set it up on the front deck. Strange place to set it. But you know when you got 20 chickens running around your yard? Day after day, yeah. You got to be careful where you set up a tent.
You sure? It's like trying to avoid that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, be careful where you walk too. And our grandkids, they come up there barefoot. Well, they're a little ginger about where they run around in the front yard and backyard now.
Yeah, I remember the story about these two people talking and reminiscing about their youth. And one of them says, I just love to go barefoot in the grass and feel the grass between my toes as I take in the natural environment. And the other person sort of sarcastically says, well, I don't. I used to live on a turkey farm.
Well, I think the topic of the day is going to be the VNA. Jim's already got his. He's been digging into it, trying to figure it out. Mine's coming today. So, Jim, you got a head start. What should I be using it for?
Oh, my. You can determine SWR. You can do a Smith chart. You can actually see if your coax is too old because In your Smith chart circle should be solid, but as you go across the frequencies, it can kind of spiral in towards itself, which means that the coax is getting old and the SWR reading might be fine, but your coax might be losing in fighting itself in terms of the effectiveness of the transmission. So I learned that last night. I learned you can determine the length of your coax. I learned that if there's a break in your coax, if you've bent it too hard and there's a break, you can actually determine where the break is. There's just a whole lot of things you can do.
Doesn't sound like it's something you learn overnight.
No, I expect that And some of the YouTube videos are not, not as usual with all YouTube videos. Some are excellent and some are just going through the menus but not explaining why you might want to do a particular thing with the device. So one guy had a, you know, $10,000 instrument he was comparing against the little $50 instrument, and it came out pretty well. So it's going to require a lot of reading, and there's some software that you can hook this thing up to your laptop with some software and get bigger displays, etc. So like anything else in ham radio, it's going to take a while to figure it out.
Do you have to have an extra class license to run it?
No, you don't. In fact, you don't have to have a license at all to run it.
Yeah. Well, I understand you can even make music with it. It comes with a guitar pick.
It does. But it also comes with a little pencil, a little plastic pencil. So you can either use the guitar pick or the plastic pencil. It has a touch screen. And it's so small, it's useful to have something other than your big fat finger to try and operate the menus.
Yeah, I can't figure out the guitar pick. That's very unusual. But did you take the plastic screen protector off?
Yes, I usually leave those things on for a year or two, but I did already take it off.
So you plan on keeping this one, huh?
Suppose you turn it on and it doesn't work and you have to send it back.
I still have mine on my Apple Watch. Just kidding. Well, I think the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to run through and test all of my HT antennas and see which is the best. Yes. I guess you can run it on anything. Have you done that yet?
I have. And the Wushan antenna that I first tested didn't come out so well.
Uh-oh.
So.
Have you tried it on your longer ones, your whips?
I have not yet. I just was playing with it to see how the menus worked and so forth. And I have to do a more precise test. I was just kind of playing with it. So. And of course, these dual band antennas, they're really designed for 2 meters, but they work on 440 with a little bit higher SWR.
Yeah. We have more guests in the cafe. Pull up to the table, guys. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, everybody.
Oh, you sound like you got a cold.
Had one.
Been there, done that, huh?
Yeah.
And Mr. Havenstreit, good morning, Bob. How are you?
Real good there. Thank you. Good to join you all again today for another beautiful day in the Ozarks here.
You see that beautiful sunrise?
Yeah, I do, actually. I'm outside right now walking around. Looks like a pretty day here.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. I think storms are coming again tomorrow. Last night we were up at Diamond City. My wife and a neighbor's wife are going to participate in the marketplace thing where they, you know, sell their vegetables and homemade breads. Jim, you should have a table up there. Well, all the homemade breads and stuff you make, you probably make a killing.
Yeah, but that's too much work.
Well, you just come and buy some then. So we had a lengthy meeting there last night. I guess I didn't realize how careful you have to be at some of these market things. I guess the government's watching everything you do and ready to slap a close down notification. Oh, it's crazy how they're intruding in our lives.
Well, that happens. By the way, do you have a lot of roadbeds in your area that go down into the creek beds?
Oh, yeah. We call them hollers here. And we've got a real deep holler before you come up our hill. Dale knows. Bob knows. They've both been up to our place. Did you guys feel a little bit shocked when you were climbing up that hill, wondering if your car would even make it? Dale, he's been here many times.
Oh, no. I always got the power to get on up that hill.
Yeah, you got the big diesel truck. We had someone didn't show up to our antenna party. Our secretary of our club, she was all worried after hearing all the stories about it, and we'd just had a bunch of rain. And, of course, when it rains real heavy, we get flooding. All the creeks will rise and go over the road. In fact, that bottom road in the holler turns into a river, and we can't go anywhere for several hours until the rain stops. But that's kind of nice. It keeps out the riffraff.
That was the case where my dad grew up, at about 50 miles north of Springfield, Missouri, which is in the same general area of you guys, since part of the Ozarks. And it reminded me of this saying, if the good Lord's a willing and the creek don't rise.
Isn't that a song?
I don't know, but I could make it into one. If the good Lord's a-wheeling and the creek don't rise.
You would fit right in down here, I'll tell you what. This is bluegrass country. They sing about real life.
Well, two of my idols are Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs.
Mm.
And, of course, there's Bill Monroe.
Oh, yeah. And Rhonda Vincent and the Rage.
Unfortunately, they're all dead.
Not Rhonda. She's our favorite.
I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't mean to imply. Sorry, Rhonda. Oh,
and you like to sing too, right?
I do.
But you don't sing bluegrass, I don't suppose.
No. No. But my favorite is back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend.
Hey, you got a nice voice.
You know who made that?
Roy Rogers.
You got it wrong. That was Gene Autry.
Oh, should have known. I used to watch him on TV as a boy.
Roy Rogers only got famous. He came into national notice when Gene Autry went into the service in World War II. So Gene was out of action for a while, and Roy Rogers filled the void.
Hmm. We were watching a Western last night. I can't remember what they called it, but it had Jimmy Stewart in it. He's the same character no matter what show he's in. It reminds me of the Christmas one that he was always in.
Well,
same personality.
There are only so many plots.
Yeah. Well, he's been in plenty of them. So anyway, did you get your computer situation straightened out? I had no success with mine. I give up.
No, Dell had me rebuild the OS. I lost all the software I installed.
Oh, wow.
Got it all back in the operating system anyway, running again. And it still wouldn't take the microphone input from my headphone set. So I have on order from Amazon a splitter. Had to get a fairly long splitter because the microphone input on this Dell is in the back panel and the headphone jack is in the front panel. And a lot of computers are side by side. But I'm going to try that. Although everything I read and the Dell tech person confirmed, I should be able to plug a headset with a microphone into the front panel jack, and both should work. But on this particular model Dell, that is clearly not the case.
Hmm. And your Dell is a Optiplex?
Oh, I think it is. I don't know. It's a Costco version.
Okay. Costco version, yeah. Dells are made in the U.S., aren't they?
Yeah, Austin, Texas, I think.
Huh.
Well, I don't know where they're the company, I think, is in Austin or somewhere in Texas, but who knows where the components are made. Right. It's probably like cars, that a particular car has components made in lots of different places.
Yeah. Well, I think my Kenwood D74 may be shipped yet this week, maybe today. I just noticed on their website, you go into your RMA number and they show you the status, and it says final QC completed. Now, they got this thing on the 18th of February. That's a long time to wait for service for an expensive radio.
It is.
But I see hope. I see light at the end of the tunnel.
So tell me why you bought that radio in the first place. What does it do that other competitors don't do?
Well, it's kind of an all-in-one thing. I mean, it's a tri-band, so it does 440, 2 meters, 220. It does APRS, which is really what I was looking forward to doing, APRS off the International Space Station. And when it was operating, I had a ball doing that. I had very, very successful experiences communicating with others through the big satellite in the sky. It does D-Star. The only thing that I was disappointed in was that it wasn't full duplex for satellites like the D-72. That one was full duplex and a very popular satellite, HG. But that's not a big deal. You know, you can get two cheap Baofeng radios for satellites, and they work just fine. I've got two UV-82s. And my aero antenna does not have a diplexer or duplexer. That's an interesting topic, too. Is it duplexer or diplexer? I hear people use both. But anyway, it has two coaxes coming out of it, one to the VH side, one to the UHF side, one to the VHF side. And so I just connect one to each radio. I have a little bag I hang around my neck. It's got two pouches, like beverage pouches. So one goes in one side, one goes in the other, and other incidentals goes in a little thing in the middle. But I just set one up for the receive and hold the other one in my hand, change the frequencies if it happens to be on UHF transmit. You know, you've got to start high and work your way low of center. But I've had a lot of success with just cheap Baofengs and my aero antenna working satellites. But the D-74 still works just fine. You just can't hear yourself on the bird. But that having a built-in TNC is pretty cool. But it's over $500.
Mm-hmm.
Right in your ballpark.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, you got everything better than me. You got high speed. You live in the city. No, I'm just kidding. Well, you're sort of in a city, aren't you?
I do love the high speed. That is... Yeah. Just phenomenal.
Well, it seems like my phone is definitely working better. I should do a quick speed test and see what the difference is. I know you just laugh at my speeds. I get tickled when I see five up and five down.
Well, multiply by 100, and that's what I have.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing I like about Visible anyway is I never have to worry about using too much data, this unlimited data, even if it is slower than your speed. It works for all my hotspots.
So my IP phone came yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You said something about that.
And I'm assuming that we can just have a hotline between us.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's talking about Ham Shack Hotline, folks. Excuse me. If you are interested in being in touch with a whole bunch of hams from around the world using just a SIP phone, go to hamshackhotline.com. Take a look at their website, look at their documentation and stuff, and go ahead and start up a ticket requesting an extension on their VoIP SIP phone.
Actually, you have to physically have the phone first, because when you apply for the phone number through this outfit, it's all volunteer. You have to have the MAC address of the phone, which mm-hmm. and they have a number of phones that they recommend, and you recommended the Cisco 303, and that's what I got. I went on eBay, and the phone including shipping was like $25. It wasn't very expensive.
No. That was used, right?
Oh, it's well used.
Oh, great. So,
somebody took the sticker off the little display long ago.
Well, you could probably reuse it. Reuse the phone, I mean.
I could take the protective cover off the nano VNA and put it on the phone.
Yeah, there you go. I think glasses should come with them. The last pair of glasses I had, I spent, I think it was $600 on, and it was less than a year, and they were all scratched up. Micro scratches and bumping into things and scratching them, and man, I should have left those plastic coverings on them. I probably wouldn't see very well, but.
Do you have thick glasses or?
No. My vision's really been fairly decent. I mean, they say I have 20, 30 or something. Not like my wife. My wife had LASIK surgery because she was blind without glasses.
Mm.
Too much early reading.
Well, you know, she can no longer go mountain climbing now.
Really?
That's right.
Because of change in air pressure?
That's right.
Explain.
Well, the LASIK surgery is actually carving away part of your, whatever they carve away, cornea, whatever they do. Anyway, they're removing part of your eye, and when you get up to very high altitudes where there's less air pressure, that can distort and cause really serious problems.
You mean like your eyeballs would blow up?
Well, I don't know the detail of the problems. I just know if you've had LASIK surgery, you can't climb mountains anymore. And I don't think you can be a jet pilot, you know, like a military jet any longer. Wow. So I'm not sure about that. Maybe somebody else in this group knows more about that.
Anyone else out here have LASIK surgery? Guess not. Andre just chimed in here. Andre says no. Andre's ready to record. Today is a big day. We are going to launch our first video, live video cafe cast. So we'll be doing that right after this. Meanwhile, Jim, Professor Brown, what is the what if question of the day?
Well, I think I have a good one today. Who knows? I guess you will decide. So have you ever heard of the slow food movement? Which was...
Yeah, my wife's bowels.
That wasn't what I mean.
I know it.
There was this happened in the 1980s, and it was sort of... As somebody put it, to resist the tyranny of McDonald's, which is fast food. You know, you drive in by the fast food window and you get your order and you eat your hamburger dripping sauce all over your shirt while you're driving.
Anymore, it's the expensive food too. Boy, prices have gone up.
Yeah. So anyway. There was a campaign to eat more slowly, enjoy your food, and so forth. Well, tomorrow is the Slow Art Day. It's an annual event in April, and happens to be tomorrow, because most people, when they go to a museum, stare at a piece of art for about 10 seconds or so. And this reminds me of editorial cartooning. Back in the late 1800s, magazines like Puck magazine, for example, would run a double truck editorial cartoon, which meant both pages, you'd open a page of Puck and both pages would have one gigantic editorial cartoon, usually involving some issue in politics. And you really had to look at that cartoon for approximately 30 minutes to study it, to get the full meaning of the cartoon. And you had to be widely read. You wouldn't begin to understand that editorial cartoon if you weren't up on the world events and nations, your own country's events. You wouldn't understand it. And my friend Gary Varville, who's a conservative, now retired editorial cartoonist, he was the editorial cartoonist for the Star. He told me one time that he hopes his viewers of his editorial cartoons would spend 4 or 5 seconds with it. So we've gone in the editorial cartooning world from when people would look at a cartoon for 30 minutes and study it to where they'll glance at it for maybe 5 seconds. Well, that same phenomenon is happening in art museums. People just wander through the art museums and look at something for, actually the average is less than 30 seconds. And so there's a slow art day every April, and museums around the world offer programming that guides visitors into looking more patiently. So the question is, what if we decided to take a little more time in our lives to study whatever is of interest to us? What would that be? I mean, what in your life would you like to spend a little more time doing than you usually do?
I think we would probably have more truth understood. Here's my example. I'm a big fan of Flipboard on my iPhone. And I think publishers and article writers have found ways to draw people in through creative titles, sometimes misleading. You know, the term clickbait might come to mind to try and hook people into going in. But I think a lot of people, as they rush through reading or observing something, like on Flipboard, you just keep flipping. You get the titles and just a little snippet maybe in the beginning of an article. And often those titles are very misleading. And so people are basing their understanding of the world on their short flipping through the storylines and the titles. And then they propagate some of these things as being fact when they're far from it. So yeah, I think we would probably have more realization of more truth in the world. Does that make sense?
It does. How about some of our other participants in this chat? What would you spend a little more time, what would you like to spend in your lives spending a little bit more time?
They all just dropped off.
Well, Bob's still there. Bob, do you have anything that you normally do in a hurried fashion that you'd like to slow down and smell the roses?
Yeah, I think fishing.
Whoever rushes fishing.
What? Well, this actually happened.
I've been speeding through my life for 74 years. I'm trying to get slowed down enough where I can get out and relax and do a little just fishing for a while and not be in a hurry, you know. Does that make any sense?
And actually, there is a fairly rapid way of fishing. It reminds me of the game warden in southeast Missouri that was trying to. There was a problem in the St. Francis River where Camp Llewellyn, my Boy Scout camp, is that that river runs right through that camp. And people were using the fast form of fishing, i.e. using dynamite. And the game warden was set out to try and catch these dynamiters. And so he was out in a boat, and pretty soon, boom! And he fired up his engine and went up to this boat that was obviously had the guy that had used dynamite, because there were dead fish floating up all over in the river. And so the game warden was proceeding to make the arrest, and the fellow took another stick of dynamite, lit the fuse, and handed it over to the game warden and said, "Well, warden, what are you going to do, fish or cut bait?"
You know, that's fishing is a good illustration, Bob, of what Jim's trying to say. I think, you know, you can take your boat and go to a nice quiet bay with some reeds and kind of a nice home for some fish, you know, and just take your time, cast out there and catch some of those fish, or you can troll. Of course, the faster you troll, you probably will be going by the fish too fast and they won't bite. And if you were to try and troll while you're speeding across the lake, you're not going to get it. You're not going to have any success. And I think that's kind of what Jim is saying too. There's take our time through life and appreciate it, even in ham radio. How about we had a discussion on our net the other night too about working DX. One of my friends, Bob, AJ5 Charlie, was saying that it used to be people would rag you. They'd snag a contact and they'd sit there for a long time and talk about everything, get to know one another. But now it's your Q5, 599, blah, 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 and you're done. And you log it and, oh, look at all the contacts I made today. Well, look all the people you walk by on the street every day. You don't even know their names. What good is that? You know, we need to take our time to appreciate one another and our unique differences, and it broadens our appreciation of the world.
Well, I'm going to recommend a book that I know Bob might like, and actually anyone might like. It's Fly Fishing Through the Midlife Crisis by Hal Raines. He used to be the editor of the Atlanta Journal and Constitution, was later an editor at the New York Times. And I read that book. It was a fascinating book. And he talks about, of course, he's grew up in the South. And he talks about being a redneck fisherman, in which you're, and he describes a redneck fisherman as somebody who is very, very competitive. That is, tries to catch in an outing more fish than his buddies, or the largest fish among his buddies. In other words, it's always a competition to be the best, catch the biggest fish, catch the most fish, whatever. And then he discovered fly fishing, in which you file the barbs off the hooks and you always catch and release. And it's a different form of fishing, and he enjoyed fishing a whole lot more when he learned how to fly fish rather than be a redneck fisherman. And I realized when I was a young boy and did a lot of fishing, I too was a redneck fisherman, because I'm in those days was very competitive.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I love the background sounds you're hearing there, Bob. I hear the birds tweeting and chirping in the background.
Bird feeders out here attracting the birds in. We kind of like to watch them, you know.
Yeah, sounds lovely.
Oh, yeah.
Going to be peaceful. A beautiful day.
Yeah, it's peaceful, you know.
So are you enjoying the hobby? You're kind of a newcomer.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Another part of slowing down. You know, I'm starting to slow down and trying to absorb some of the stuff you guys are talking about, the technical stuff. You know, I'm like 40 years behind, but You know, it's really interesting, the new radio stuff they're doing nowadays. So yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm trying to grasp it, but you know, I'm enjoying just hearing about it.
I'm in the same position you are, Bob. You know, I got my license when I was a teenager, but I'm coming up to 76 and I haven't been on the air for like 50 years. And so it's all new to me too. I mean, I've had my license a long time, but I'm at the beginning of learning about this as you are.
Yeah, it's amazing the stuff they're doing now on these computers and everything.
Yeah, and especially the small computers. This little VNA thing is, it's not much bigger than a Raspberry Pi. It runs on its own batteries. And like Jim was talking about, it does more than some of these expensive ones that you pay $350 or more for. And
it can only plot 101 points or something like that. But as we know, when you make a graph, you can interpolate between points. So
right. So it's digital then.
Yep. And it's about the size of a playing card, actually.
Wow. So now I've heard people talking about calibration of that thing. Is that kind of a pain or is it pretty quick and easy?
Well, I've done it one time. So with my vast experience, you have to, the disadvantage of, this is a very sophisticated instrument for, that you can get for as low as $50. And the other antenna testers, that are on the market are in the neighborhood of $300 that hams use regularly. And the difference is whenever you change something, that is when you change frequency range or the kind of connector you're using to connect to your coax or what have you, you have to do recalibration. And it's not a difficult process, but it takes a few minutes to do. There are three connectors that are supplied with it that you have to calibrate the instrument for every different frequency range you're using, or anytime you change anything in the application or the frequency range, you have to recalibrate. And there are three little gizmos that come with it that screw onto the connector. One is open, one is shorted, and the third one is a 50 ohm load. In my case, I measured it with my ohm meter and it's 52 ohms, which is, I guess, close enough. But you have to calibrate with all three of those. And it would take, I would guess, once you've done it once or twice, not more than a minute and a half, 2 minutes to do. So it's not terribly complicated. But those little gizmos are kind of small and you wouldn't want to lose them.
And then you can set them up as a profile. So it shouldn't have to be done every time, should it? I mean, couldn't you just select the profile that you saved for each different situation or not?
Well, that's an interesting question and a good question. You can save the frequency ranges. There's a number of memories it has. So let's say you were going to do the 2 meter to 440 range, and you could set that up, your lowest, like 140 megahertz and whatever the upper would be. And you can save that into a memory so that you don't have to, as you're going to measure other frequency ranges and you want to come back to measure the 2 meter 440 range, you can just call that up from memory. But I'm not sure whether as you move from one frequency range to another, whether you have to recalibrate or whether that just calls up the memory start and stop so that you don't have to reset it.
Well, I'll find out today. Mine will come probably between 4 and 5 this afternoon. I'll have something to play with tonight. But did you notice when you were shopping for that, the wide range of prices? I mean, some of those were over $100 and some as low as $50, $54.
Well, yes, and some of them have the 259 connectors, and some of them are the, oh, I forgot what they're called, BNC, or the, you know, the smaller connectors. The ones I think you and I got have the smaller connectors, and so I got adapter cables to go from that one to the PL259.
Yeah.
And that raises another question. It comes with a couple of cables, and I'm hoping that the adapter cable with the 259 that I bought along with it is about the same length as the other cables, because you need the little gizmos that come for calibration fit on the smaller connector. And so every little piece of line, and that is, if you're going to use a cable, you have to have the cable on the machine when you use the calibration gizmos.
It makes me think of all my non-ham friends when I talk about anything to do with ham radio and I use the proper technical terms and stuff. It's like their eyes roll back and I blah, blah, blah. I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, just, you know, we can use gizmos and this, all that kind of stuff too. It wouldn't make any difference.
No, just use the appropriate gizmo or the thingamajig or the what you may call it.
Exactly. I know what you're talking about. I got some of those. Oh, funny. Well, this is going to be interesting. Like I say, I'm going to go test it on all my HT antennas. I've got some of these, the ones that are like two tape measures, you know, side by side, covered in plastic that you can bend and fold. And they say those are supposed to be so good. So I'm going to give it the big test with my VNA. What does VNA stand for?
Vector network analyzer.
Ooh, that sounds impressive.
That one of the videos I watched that last night was pretty cool, and he had not an automatic antenna tuner, but you know, the old traditional manual kind with the knobs you turn, the two knobs, one for induction, one for capacitance. And he wanted to change the resonant frequency of his antenna. And so he hooked up his manual antenna tuner through this system to the antenna, and he wanted to change the best SWR to a different frequency than it was just natively. And he was able to do that with his manual antenna tuner. He actually changed the best resonant frequency of that antenna, and you could see it using this little nano VNA. It was really very interesting. I'm learning a lot about antennas, actually, by just watching these videos on various uses hams have found for this thing.
Yeah, there are many excellent ham radio videos of people doing anything from box opening to actually testing out products and things. Usually they're titled by whatever it is they're doing. I don't know how useful our podcasts are going to be. We just kind of generally, we have no idea where these conversations are going. It's whatever's hot in our lives at the moment, and we're no experts on anything. We just love sitting around talking about anything related to ham radio. So I appreciate comments from our listeners. If you like this kind of format, let us know. If you want something more specific, let us know. Maybe we'll start focusing on one topic per episode instead of wandering all over the place like we do.
When I described to my daughter what I was doing with you, she said, "Why would anybody listen to a bunch of guys sitting around talking?" Well, that's an open question, isn't it?
It is. So what did you say?
I said, "I don't have a clue."
Well, but you know, we are old, and it is adding a little exciting dimension to our lives at this stage, isn't it?
But isn't that the essence of ham radio? Sitting around and talking to people and making new friends and talking to people you've never met before. I mean, I tend to classify myself as an extrovert, and I'm wondering if there are introverts in ham radio, or maybe the introverts are always on CW. I don't know. It's an interesting question.
I think we have some introverts in our audience. Go ahead, Daniel.
I consider myself an introvert, but I just love being out with other guys talking about things that we all like and enjoy.
Yeah, you've really come out of your shell since coming to the cafe, haven't you?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've changed a lot since I had my license, because before I was very, very, very private and shy, but I think, the ham radio has done that for me.
Yeah. Bob, are you an introvert or extrovert?
Yeah, I'd consider myself an introvert. Just kind of stay on the quiet side.
Yeah, you make good audience. Andre, I'm not sure. What are you, Andre? Introvert or extrovert? Andre's busy working. He probably left the building. Anyway. Yeah, most hams you hear on the air are probably extroverts. I guess I'm kind of an extrovert. But there are times, there are situations I can just easily sit in the background being quiet and listening. Like when I'm with Jim. Jim, I just love your wealth of knowledge and your clear ability to communicate. I really enjoy it. I wish I was in college and under your tutelage.
Well, I wish I could listen to my own advice sometimes.
Well, you could go back and listen to each podcast after we're done.
Oh my, that would be torture. I already know what went on.
Yeah, have you ever listened to one just to analyze and critique it?
No, I mean, some actors don't even look at their own movies. You know?
I understand that.
Huh. So,
well, we'll be able to watch ourselves shortly here. We're going to wrap this one up and take a little break, go water the garden, and come back for our first video episode of Radio on the Rock. So, Bob, Andre, some of the other guys have already left. Thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate your comments, too. Y'all have a blessed day and stand by for our new improved video conference or video cafe cast. You get to see how good looking we are.
Right. Or not.
Nice. Well, how good looking Jim is anyway.
You have a good day. 73s.
73, Bob, and get that fishing line out.
Yep. Yeah, I'm working on it.
73, guys. Take your time now. Enjoy the day.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all Daniel. Right. 7-3.
Make sure you guys take the time now to walk slowly through the day and enjoy every moment of it. Make some new friends in ham radio, and don't forget your family around you, too. Spend some time with your spouse, your kids, and appreciate every moment of the day. Thanks for that good question there, Jim.
You're welcome. 7-3.
7-3.
Hi, this is Extra Class Amateur Radio Operator, K5DCC. I just upgraded to my Extra Class last year. You know how I did it? I used HamTest Online. Did you know that HamTest Online is the top-rated study program on eham.net? 97% of reviewers gave them 5 stars. They have more 5-star user reviews than all other study methods combined, and success is guaranteed. If you fail the amateur radio license exam, they will refund your subscription. It's a no-brainer. You pass the exam or get a full refund. Try it for yourself at hamtestonline.com.
Hello, cafeers. Denny J here. in the beautiful Ozarks of Northwest Arkansas, out in the country, 25 miles from any large city. Out here in the country, we struggle to get good internet. Maybe you have the same problem. If you live in a rural area, you don't have many options. It's either satellite or DSL or cellular. And believe me, we've tried them all. Just recently, I was more than happy to pay the penalty to get out of our satellite service. Latency was horrible, and for amateur radio communications, the delays were up to 5 seconds, and you probably experienced what that's like. Our DSL service was also very unreliable. We rarely got the speeds that we were promised, and it kept dropping out. But now I think I found a service that we're going to love. It's called Visible.com. It's a company that's owned by Verizon and kind of a pared back service, but works beautifully for my situation here out in the country on 15 acres. Visible.com offers only one plan. It's unlimited everything. Unlimited calls, text, and internet at slightly slower speeds than their top drawer plan at Verizon. But it does use the Verizon network. Go to Visible.com and use my referral code 3NOVEMBER37NOVEMBERTANGO. Also, to get your $40 a month bill reduced to $25, you need to be part of a party pay group. You can join me in our Digicom Cafe party. You will find the link to these things down in the show notes here, along with links to our Digicom Cafe community portal, which is a Facebook alternative. Also, our Telegram community, where we have text and voice chat, and also our live cafe cast here in the Digicom Cafe. So get your line at visible.com. And again, use my referral code and join our party to get that bill down to $25 a month.
Thank you for listening to this Radio on the Rocks Cafe cast. We invite you to join our Mighty Networks amateur radio community at members.digicomcafe.com.